This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello, my friend. Looks like we made it through another week already, eh?
Yeah, and it hadn't snowed or rained hardly at all today.
And Mount St. Helens is still there.
Thank God.
Well, you know why I mentioned that.
I know.
42 years ago today, she blew her top.
42 years ago, and like I told you, I was in Portland, at the Red Lion Inn, and woke up, and the world was gray. And I thought,
wow.
What happened? I had no idea it blew up. I sleep soundly.
I guess so. I guess so.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening today. Hopefully, you'll get something out of my show. I like to talk about plants and lawns and fertilizing and watering and all kinds of stuff. And if you have a question, you don't hesitate to call 673-4464. We'll get you right on, and you can ask me your question, and we can figure it out just speaking to one another nicely.
There you go.
But this is not a political show.
Darn.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We could do the election returns if you want.
Nah.
All right.
Well, I was going to say, I when I first wrote my notes for this show, it was raining, and I started out with another rainy day in Douglas County. Well, today it didn't rain for crying. Well, there was a couple of drops.
I saw, but nothing to
shout about.
It was supposed to rain today.
Yeah, so that's why I headlined my article with another rainy day in Douglas County. So anyway. The problem for me in this kind of weather and what I do is just that it's a constant drizzle, and sometimes a little harder, and it slows down our progress on jobs. And, you know, when the ground is wet, you can't till it, can't work it, can't do this, can't do that, and it's still wet even though it didn't rain today. You put your shovel in the ground, you're going to come up wet.
Yep.
Not wet, but you know, very damp.
Well, you can't work with it.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes up in clods, and now topsoil. If it was nice topsoil, we just did a little job for a guy. Finished it this afternoon, and he wanted a gravel path on the side of his house, and it was all, you know, just dirt. And so it took us 2 days to dig the dirt out,
or
a day and a half to dig the dirt out,
because
the only access was back up to this gate and shovel it into a wheelbarrow, roll it up our trailer ramp into the trailer.
That's labor intensive, man.
Very labor intensive. That's why I hire strong young men. I used to do all that by myself, but not anymore.
Me too.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, that's for sure.
I could do two or three wheelbarrow fulls and I'd call it a day.
Oh, I could,
yeah. but anyway, that was this little job was, gosh, when I first give the guy a bid, must have been 3 weeks ago or maybe a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just rained every day, you know. And
sure.
Yeah. And he called me up and said, well, Mike, are you going to? I said, it's too wet. It's just too wet. We have to have a couple of dry days in a row. Otherwise, it's going to be a sloppy mess. And then just, you know, take twice as long.
So. Right.
So we finally got to a couple of halfway dry days and we attacked it yesterday. And my young, strong crew got in there and did a great job.
Your young studs.
My young studs. I love them, guys. They save me a lot of aches and pains on a daily basis. Jeez Louise. But the weeds, of course, are also too wet to spray. Maybe not today, but in the last 4 weeks they have been. But we sneak it in anyway. There's you get a break in the rain for a couple hours, and then go ahead, spray. We got a spray job. We'll get them puppies sprayed and put some sticker in there so the spray doesn't just run right off. So
right.
It actually adheres to the weed leaves. And believe it or not, even when it's wet and cold, that the good old Roundup does the job. It does the job.
You know? Are they still going to be making that, or are they?
Oh, I don't know. It's too good. They'll probably outlaw it.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, I hope not, because it really works.
And yeah.
I've been using it, 39 years or 40 years or something like
that. You still have all your limbs.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
They're not.
Well, actually, this is a false arm.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They made it look human, but it's a false arm.
You wear it well.
Thank you very much. But, you know, in Roundup, gosh, if you are halfway paying attention and you follow the directions and be safe, guess what? There's no effect on the human. It's just effect on the leaves and the weeds that you're spraying. So that's all you got to do.
Don't be stupid with it.
Yeah, don't be stupid. But because of the rain, of course, the net result is our landscape projects are backed up for months at this point. And, I mean months. I mean, I'm telling people maybe October, maybe September.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know. And the ones that I already have bid and are waiting patiently.
Right.
And once in a while, they call me and say, are we still on the list? I says, you sure are. I got to get through these other three before I get to you. Oh, gosh. But 99%, I would say 99.9% of my clients are wonderful people.
Cool.
They are understanding. They're just nice people. They treat us like family, for crying out loud, when the crew's there. So it's good.
Douglas County County's kind of that way.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, you know, but as far as the rain goes, on one hand, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just frustrating to be so far behind in your schedule.
And the governor declares we're still in a drought.
Oh, yeah. Extreme drought.
Extreme drought,
yes. Of course, yes. But, you know, and I know this is not helping homeowners either, because they are, you know, there are lawns to mow, weeds to spray, gardens to plant. And, you know, it's just slow work
going,
when it's when it's raining, and you can't mow it when it's wet, or everything clogs up. And and when do I spray? Well, when it's not raining.
When is that?
Maybe June, you know.
Maybe
like that. Yeah,
that's a big if.
Yeah, so we all always need, I don't mind the rain, just give me a few sunny days in between, you know, to just kind of get caught up a little bit. That's all I care about. But anyway, you know, several weeks ago, I wrote about possible food shortages and the need to grow your own.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, and I keep seeing all these other articles. And I get the Capital Press, which is an agricultural newspaper. And it has some really good news.
Sounds like it comes from Salem.
No, it comes from Idaho.
Idaho.
I think yeah. And but they talk about the challenges and the problems that the, you know, the agricultural community, whether they're growing wheat or cows or sheep or ducks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, it talks about all the new regulations coming down on farmers and ranchers so that the food will cost more and things like that. Or they can't, you know, something they used to do, they can't. But at any rate.
Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Oh, Lord.
But getting back to what I was actually talking about, we do need a few sunny days in a row just to get some of these jobs done. And I know the homeowners are frustrated. You go by in some of these neighborhoods and the lawns are probably twice as long as they should be, maybe three times as long.
Mm-hmm.
We did a project in behind Banner Bank in Winston here. There's a little extra property they have, and we're supposed to, you know, kind of keep it mowed. It's not a lawn, it's just a patch of weeds, but
it's a little lot or whatever.
Yeah, a little lot, and you couldn't build on it. It's kind of small and ugly and long, but we've been waiting and waiting and waiting till it was dry enough to finally get in there. And of course, when it was time, our big high grass mower broke down.
Oh, of course.
And needed new blades or something, so we had to weed eat it, and we got it done. But gosh, the grass was, some of it was 2.5 feet tall. Yeah.
Mama mia.
And I asked my maintenance crew, didn't you mow any of this? And yeah, we mowed it a month ago, and it was, you know, it was pretty long then. But that's how quick everything is growing, simply because of all the moisture.
Now the grass loves it.
Yeah, the grass. Well, you know, everything loves, all the trees, all the shrubs, they're doing well. I mean, they're lush. It's just a good spring in comparison to the last one and the one before that we had. But last year was a disaster because things didn't bloom as long, and leaves started curling up early in, you know, May and June because it was so stinking hot and dry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, ew. But anyway, these food shortages things, you know.
Yep.
And and of course, our federal government continues to mess up our economy one way or another. So I think it's a good idea to explore growing some vegetables at home, even if you've never done it. excuse me. It's a fun thing. It's a good thing. And you'll be amazed at how talented you really are, even if you've never done it before. And even if you live in an apartment or a condo, you can still grow food in pots. Whoa. You know, get some nice big pots and put, you know, if you had a, say, a 15-inch diameter pot, you could put 3 tomato plants in that. Whoa. And put little sticks in there to stake them up so they don't flop over. And you'd be amazed at how many tomatoes you'd get off those
wow.
three.
I have a lot of old, empty Folgers cans.
Well, poke some holes in that puppy and you know, you could plant at least one type of vegetable.
Oh, could you? Each,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's, I don't know about zucchini squash, but it would, as long as the roots were damp and had good soil, I mean, the zucchinis, they grow all over. They'll grow
yeah.
on wood, on
yeah.
concrete, and everything else. I mean, you can't stop a good zucchini at all.
Must be the cousin of that vine I have.
It is, probably. But if you've never done it before, you know, you can start like a neighborhood garden or several of them. Just go out there and do it. Talk to some of your neighbors. And so you don't need acres and acres, just maybe a big yard. And, you know, and as I said in the past, a small 10 by 10 space, if you plant it correctly, you can grow about $800 worth of vegetables in a 10 by 10 space, 100 square feet.
Wow.
And all it takes is a little planning and a little education on, mm-hmm. on your part to figure out how to do it or get a book on it. There are books in the box stores and everything else. You know, they got so many different gardening books.
When in doubt, Google.
Yeah. Google it. Yeah, whatever that is. But, you know, it shows you how to build it. There are pictures and drawings and how deep the soil must be. But a 10 by 10, what's this room, 10 by 10 maybe?
Probably,
yeah.
I would guess.
Well,
yeah.
You can, like I say, you can grow $800 worth of vegetables. And if you...
Hey,
if
Kyle, you, did you hear that?
Yeah, maybe he'll do that now.
We'll come in. It's a vegetable garden.
Yeah, but, you know, like I say, if you're a rookie, find a gardener in the neighborhood. Every neighborhood has one or two really intense garden guys or girls.
Yep.
And go ask them some questions. Go be their best friends. Help them out and learn all you can and ask questions. They'll give you more answers than you can handle. And before you know it, you're almost an expert.
You're an expert.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it doesn't take a lot of, you know, you just got to know some of the basics. And we've talked about the basics for the last 20 years in here. And, you know, the right kind of soil, the right kind of watering, the right kind of fertilization, that kind of thing. And you can grow your food. I mean, you plant, one tomato plant, you'd be amazed what one tomato plant can produce, you know, as far as tomatoes. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and
I
coming.
I might try that with that Folgers coffee
not?
Can.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's plastic. It'd be easy to cut the holes in, I
guess. Just make sure you got some good drain holes in there so it doesn't, you know, become a
mush
and soup. Yeah. And it's really good that way. And then we here in Douglas County, we're blessed with these local farmers markets. You go to those farmers markets ever?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, probably a third of the booths are selling food. They're selling fresh produce. They've got cucumbers and pineapples. Well, maybe not pineapples, but they got, you know, the stuff they've grown in their backyard or in their back field or something like that. Usually it's good stuff. It looks good and it's a good price. And you say, well, what's this or what's that or what kind of tomato is this? And they have all that information for you, and they're glad to share it. And, you know, you can get in a conversation with them of how did you do this? Well, how long does it take to grow this? Or, you know, how do you water it? They're full of information, and they're obviously successful because they're at the farmer's market with all their goods right there. And you're looking at it. We got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
Absolutely. What's our number, Mike?
673-4464.
There you go. We'll be right back. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And local talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It's amazing how you remember all that. You
know? Oh, well, it took a while. Trust me.
I still don't remember it. I go, oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'm talking about gardens and I'm talking about wet soil. And if you have a question about any of your trees, your lawns or gardens or whatever, just call 673-4464 and we'll try to solve your dilemma right here very easily. But I've said this in the past, but one thing this weather has done is it's improved our blooming times. If you drive around Douglas County, everything is in bloom, man. I mean, this is what, toward the end of May, and it's still stuff. There's still I've seen rhododendrons that are budded up that aren't even open yet. So that's going to extend the blooming time clear into June easily, and I've never seen that before.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
You know, there are some rhodies and some azaleas that are late bloomers, but these aren't the late bloomers. These are just regular ones because the cold, wet weather kind of squashes the blooming time because the plant doesn't feel it's ready. It's not warm enough. It's too wet. It's not dry enough.
Time yet.
Yeah, it's not time. Let's just hold on to our blooms. don't let that happen. But it has probably extended, and as much as I can anticipate and estimate, I think the blooming time has like been several weeks later. And it's kind of neat because there's, you know, the azaleas, the rhodies, the dogwoods are blooming for at least a month or more because the cool, wet weather enhances the blooms. There's no real stress on them because there's no hot sun. So consequently, they're beautiful for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and as you drive around town, you can see, you know, just across the street here, we got the office complex, which we take care of, by the way.
Oh, is it? Nice.
And those rhodies in the front of the building are beautiful right now. And they're just, and they've been, some of them been blooming for a good month.
They have. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the plus of this cool weather. You get better plant growth, you get less stress, you get less problems, pest problems and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So, you know, enjoy that. And when April and May usually have a week or two of bright sun and warm days, the bloom times are only 2-3 weeks, maybe 3.5 weeks at the most. But if this weather pattern continues, so will that bloom time. That's as simple as it is. And if you don't believe me, just pay attention to your neighborhood and see what's blooming and see, you know, this is, like I say, what, 18th? Today?
Yes.
Of May?
Yes.
Yeah. 18th of May. You know, it's usually things are pretty much done by now, but some of them, like I say, are just starting. Some of them are just in the middle of a 3-week bloom time, and that's cool. That's a plus for this weather, okay? That's the most optimistic thing I can say about
very
this weather.
Very unusual.
Yes, it is very unusual. But when the blooms stop on the rhodies and the azaleas and the new leaves are coming, go ahead and if they're too big, prune them. This is the time to prune them so they can set new bloom bloods for next year. And don't wait till winter on those rhodies and azaleas. Prune them and shape them now while it's cool. They're okay. Like if you got something that's gotten too large for its spot, like right next to the house or the front porch or the driveway, prune that thing down and shape it so it fits. So
cut her down to size.
Yeah, cut it down to size, and you'll be amazed at how nicely it comes back. And that's not just rhodies and azaleas. That's just anything.
Yeah. That Easter lily that I have out in front of my apartment, the neighborhood ladies have been so kind as to keep it trimmed and everything.
Really?
And that thing is still blooming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And how long has it been blooming, would you say? A month?
Oh, at least or more.
Yeah. I was thinking you started talking about it.
Yeah.
A long time ago, it seems.
And an overabundance of the flowering. I mean, she even took some of the buds away from it. She planted some down in by her place.
Well, and you know, when you take some bud, let's say a plant like that has, say, 8 buds or 7 buds on top.
Yeah.
Well, if you took off half of them, those that remained would be bigger and better and longer blooming.
Oh.
See, because there's only so much energy in that root system to keep that life going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got seven or eight buds, yeah, they're going to bloom and they're going to be pretty. They won't be as large, but they'll be alive. I mean, it has to sustain itself. But if you only had half that many, the blooms would be bigger and bloom longer and be prettier.
Wow.
You know, that's, you just kind of find a balance there on your mm-hmm. plants and prune accordingly. You know, that's how she works, you know.
Yeah, the mother load today, I tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, this season, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, even if you don't like this weather for yard work, I understand that. But the plants are loving it, man. They are, like I said, less stress, new growth. It's lush, it's plentiful, mm-hmm. and you don't have to water.
There you
so
go.
So for you water fanatics who like to get out there and soak everything, don't do it.
We're in extreme drought.
That's what the governor said.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we're good. Even if it stopped raining tomorrow, you wouldn't have to water for another month, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's maybe a lawn would be different, but your shrubs now, you know, that have been in the ground, there's still dampness, you know, 6, 8 inches, 10 inches down into there where the root systems are actually living. And this type of weather, of course, you know, prolongs the planting season. So sometimes in May it's, you know, 79 to 89 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get a little paranoid about planting new plants because they think it's too hot. Well, you can still plant in that kind of weather, but you have to do it correctly and quickly so that you'll have the plant survival. But since it's like this, you know, that's not an issue. I mean, you still have to plant it properly, but you don't have to worry that it's going to be 106 tomorrow.
Oh, you know, Lord have it, no.
It ain't going to do that. But so there's less shock at this time, or very little shock.
Yeah.
If the temperatures are, say, 75 degrees or 70 degrees.
That would be a shock in itself.
Yeah, 75 is nice, man. But, you know, so take advantage of the cool, wet spring, beautify your yard and plant all the things you want and just enjoy the color and the beauty that you can create. It's not bad.
I noticed the blackberries kind of love it, too.
Oh, gosh, yes. On my road into my place, the blackberries are already going, look at this. We'll be across the road in 2 weeks.
And still going.
I spray those puppies every year.
Roundup?
No, crossbow.
Crossbow.
Okay. You know, it's funny. You spray them and you go by, and a week later, God, what didn't spray work?
Yeah.
But the next week, all of a sudden, all those leaves are brown and the blackberries are withering. And then they finally, you know, it takes about a month to die all the way down. Then they die all the way down, and the next thing you know, there's new sprouts coming mm-hmm. up from the roots.
Yep.
You know, those blackberries, they got to be the toughest plants in the world.
They have to be.
Yeah. And the blackberries are good to eat, too.
Yeah. So. You don't even have to take care of them.
No, you don't. Okay, so you want to do your vegetable garden, right? Well, this is perfect time. You know, if the ground has already been prepared, let's say you prepared your ground last fall, you gave it a couple of tillings and broke up the soil and everything else. Well, that soil's still loose enough that you wouldn't have to retill.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of soil, but I'd say 90% of the time you could just plant in what you've already done, or you might have to do a little shovel work. But it would be quick and easy because there's no heat to mm-hmm. be
contend with.
I was going to say be alarmed about. And then you put those little tomato plants or pepper plants or zucchini plants in the ground, and they're just going to whoo. And next thing you know, you're going to have all this stuff to eat.
Sounds like the zucchini would compete with the blackberries.
Well, it should. I wouldn't spray them. But once you do this, you could add a little of water just to kind of settle the root systems in. But, you know, they're good to go. So don't go out there the next day and start watering because it's totally unnecessary. Always check the soil. Do a hand test with the mm-hmm. soil. You know, dig down about 2 or 3, 4 inches right beside the plant that you planted. If it's damp, leave it alone. It's okay. It's going to survive because those root systems, as the soil goes down and gets lower, those roots will follow it. I mean, they don't have to be told. They go, oh, the moisture level's dropping. Let's go get it.
There's our mother load right there.
Yeah, right. And this is a good time for hanging baskets. I mean, hanging baskets are kind of a picky item because they're in a basket and they're hanging in the air. So mm-hmm. the heat is, when it's hot, the heat is all the way around the root systems because it's up in the air.
Yeah.
And you get a breeze in there and it sucks the moisture out of the leaves, especially with fuchsias and things like that. We quit carrying fuchsias. I mean, they're a pain in the neck. They're beautiful, but you can take them home, and unless you keep an eye on them every day, they can go downhill fairly quick.
Huh. Okay.
But ivy geraniums and those kinds of things, they're good for, gosh, they'll bloom till December, for crying out loud.
Little my kind of plant.
Yeah, right. You'd even have success with them. But yeah. The geraniums and stuff, they'll survive and thrive in 90 degree days as long as they've got some afternoon shade.
Hmm.
I mean, you don't put them out in the parking lot and you know, set them on the ground and say, okay, live, sucker. They won't. But, you know, if you got them in the right spot and now hanging baskets, you may have to water them every day or every other day, depending on, you know, where they're located.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got blooms and color all year. Well, not all year, but all summer and
nice.
Even into the fall when things are starting to go downhill, lose their leaves and that kind of thing. And they're just much, much easier to take care of than, say, fuchsias. But there are petunia baskets. And there are geranium baskets, and just there's so many different types out there. You can enjoy them. They're good for you.
All right. Should we take a break?
You got a break.
Let's do the break. Still haven't heard from you. 673-4464.
You don't know that number yet?
I get confused between 2 and 3.
Oh. You know, well, 3 comes after 2.
2. Well, after all, I went to Sutherland.
You know. Oh, that explains it.
We'll be back. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Here we are. We survived another break, Mike.
Hey, that's good. We didn't even, you know, lose it. We're still in the...
No air conditioning or nothing.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh, that was terrible. Well, welcome back. If you have a question on your gardening or your planting or trees, shrubs, whatever, 673-4464 is the number you can call. Anyway, I was talking about hanging baskets and things in the last segment, and you know, we've got a whole lot of them looking for good homes at the nursery, of course. And but as I said earlier, we didn't get any fuchsia baskets because they require more care and attention, and they're good. And if you have the right spot and the right conditions,
get the time
and the time, you can keep them nice. I mean, I'm not against fuchsia baskets, but we tried to make our life a little bit easier because we got all these other baskets.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And they're gorgeous, and they're in full bloom, and you know, the ivy geraniums, and they can take sun without a whole bunch of damage, and they're very, very colorful, and they can bloom clear into October.
Wow.
And very easily if you give them minimal care. Less fuss and less water, and you're good to go. Martha Washington geraniums are just as tough, but they have a little bit more color to them.
Now, and did she actually have those, Martha?
Yeah. Yeah, she invented them.
She did.
Didn't you know that?
No, I learned something.
That's a joke, okay? Oh, gosh. And then you got the petunia baskets. You know, petunias will grow out of gravel, for crying out loud. I've had them, you know, you'll have sometimes older baskets that they might go to seed, and some of the seed drops into some of our gravel, and you're walking by them every day, and all of a sudden you see this little petunia blooming in the gravel. Where did that come from, you know? And it just somehow it
fell out.
It fell out, and the wind hit it and took it into our gravel area. And you go, geez, that's tough. And it hasn't even been watered. And it's blooming, for goodness sakes.
Watered by oil.
Yeah, exactly. But they're very hardy, the petunia baskets. And you know, the sun doesn't faze them. I love the sun, and for at least half a day. And, you know, most of the baskets will take, you know, morning sun quite well. And it's just the very hot afternoon sun that's the killer on some of them. And yeah. You have to pay attention to your watering and when that happens.
Yeah.
And if you have a few hot days, you can, you know, it's easy to move them into a more shady area until the heat breaks and put them back. When that part is over.
Yeah, we normally don't have a whole lot of hot summer days, but we do have them.
Yeah, we have sometimes 5 or 10 in a row, and that...
That would do it.
Yeah, I hate that.
That almost kills me.
I don't like that at all. we're watering, you know, 12 hours a day at the nursery, you know, just to keep things going and alive and fresh and cool.
Yeah.
Because the plants are in black pots, you know, that we have out
there. Oh, yeah, that just absorbs.
Yeah, it's black, you know, plastic containers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when the plants are close together, it's only the outside perimeter of the pots that really get the sun, but you can't ignore, when you water, we got a sprinkler, everything gets watered equally in that respect.
Yeah.
And you have to do that, and keep them alive. But I believe, of course, we are past freezing conditions. I really believe that.
I think so, too.
and you can plant all the annuals you want. You can get out there and put your marigolds, your petunias, your geraniums, all that kind of stuff out there. And so you'll have a ton of color in your front yard, backyard, pots, whatever. And, you know, in your best bets for long-term summer color, of course, as I said, are the, you know, geraniums, the petunias, verbena, begonias, carnations, you know, or whatever else you like and whatever else you want to plant in this kind of a season that we have. They're all going to do well. And, you know, and you can also, I suggest this all the time, mix them in with your vegetables in your veggie garden. You know, that way you attract more pollinators. Ooh, more pollinators, yeah, produce more vegetables. And, you know, or put them in pots on the porch you know, and most of the color spots, they like sun. So there's a few that require, you know, afternoon shade. It's okay. So fix it up and make sure that you know what you're buying. Ask questions at the place that you're buying them from, the people that you're buying them from. We answer hundreds of questions a week of folks that, say a young couple just bought a house and, you know, brand new first time house and they've never landscaped before. Uh-huh. So as they're looking at things and we let them look and then they got a lot of questions, we answer their questions. And so I want them to succeed. I want them, when they take those plants home, I don't want them over watering, over fertilizing, or putting them up against the driveway or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever, people do without
detrimental.
Thinking, yeah, that without thinking about what that plant is going to be like in 2 years or 3 years, and will I be able to open my front door because I planted too many of them too close? You know,
the attack
kind of
the bushes,
right? And you just want to make sure they have success, and it's good. Now, ground covers, blooming ground covers. I mean, you know, the ground covers are simple. They're tough. You can sometimes plant them in pure gravel and they'll grow. I mean, that's how they are.
Nice.
And they're very, very hardy. And I got two that are my favorites, I guess you would say. And the first one is ice plant. Now, people, when they hear ice plant, they think Southern California. Yeah, it grows in Southern California, but also grows in Douglas County very, very well. this plant that I like, it's evergreen with so many blooms when it starts blooming that they almost cover the entire plant. I mean, and it'll bloom all summer long in hot sun with little care.
Nice.
And it just, this ice plant hugs, I mean, really hugs the ground. It, oh gosh, it might be 2 inches tall. That's it. But it'll be 6 feet wide, and it'll be 10,000 blooms on that thing. And there's this, I don't know the specific name of it, but it has a kind of a purplish blue flower, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of flowers when it's blooming. And the cool thing about it is when the sun goes down, the flowers fold up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when the sun comes up, the flowers unfold. Yeah. Yeah, automatic. Don't even have to tell them. they got her down.
They cooperate.
Exactly. So ice plant is a very common plant in warmer climates, you know, like Southern Cal and Mexico and, you know, Arizona, that kind of thing.
China.
Well, I don't know. Is there any warm weather in China? I'm not sure.
I don't think it ever is warm in China.
Well, in one way or another, it might be. But the one we grow survives in the snow, the rain, the hot days. It's just amazing, and it spreads very quickly. And it's good if you have like a narrow planter along your foundation that's like in full sun, and you don't want to decorate it, but you can't put a big shrub in there because there's just not enough room or something like that. Well, this plant will love it in there and grow very quickly, and it won't be a nuisance to you. And as you pull in your driveway, boom, they're all blooming and they look good. And you can prune it if it overgrows. And pruning it means you take some shears out. It can be big scissors or pruning shears, whatever, and just clip them. Just clip the stuff that's growing out of whack. It won't even know it's missing yet. and then you could take the cuttings that you clip, and you can plant those cuttings, and they'll grow roots for the most part and start a new plant.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's good if you have some rooting hormone. You could dip them in, you know, cut them and then dip them in, and then in the rooting hormone, and then just plant them. And bingo. I mean, that's how we make cuttings. That's how we grow these things.
Sounds simple enough.
It is. Now, when you do that, though, then you have to pay a little bit of attention to the watering if you've just planted them in your yard and they don't have roots yet.
Uh-huh.
Well, you got to maybe sprinkle them a little bit every other day or in the mornings or something like that. Just a little bit, just to keep them damp so the sun doesn't dry them out.
Oh, okay.
And if you do it in early spring, that's not much of a problem. But if you wait till like June or July, yeah, you got a challenge there. But some of them will still make it if you pay attention to what's going on.
The strong will survive.
Yeah, and just put them in other parts of your yard when you know they'll easily double in its spread every year. And I've got I've got a couple planted out by the road. It's a very busy highway.
Oh, yeah.
99.
Yes,
lots of trucks. Logging trucks, chip trucks, and
all
cars.
All kinds of dust and oil.
Exactly. Dust and oil. And we got them planted along this berm that I built out there years ago. Doesn't even affect them. Yeah. And when we do water them out there, you know, you give them a good rinse job, so get the dust off.
Just dust them off.
Yeah, they grow. And if you don't believe me, come out and see.
We're talking the ice plant, right?
Ice plant, yes. Yeah, yeah, it's tougher than nails. And, you know, we had Snowmageddon, very little damage. Freezing conditions, very little damage. You know, here and there you might have a dead little branch or a couple of their leaves. And their leaves are not normal leaves, of course. They're kind of a long, like a finger, and maybe as thick as a fat pencil. And they're, you know, they reach out that way. So they have a real different look. And I've seen them in hanging baskets. I've seen them in, you know, growing in rock gardens. They're good if you have a pond, a fish pond, and you want to, you know, you've got some boulders around there, but there's some blank spaces. You throw some of these in there in between the rocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo, it adds a whole new dimension to your fish pond or to your koi
there you
pond.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good plants. They're just tough. I like them. They're easy to grow. like I said, little care, a little water, a little fertilizer, and they're good to go. And and they'll grow in the shade as well, but a little bit more slowly in the shade, you know, like a full shade where not much sun gets in at all. They'll grow, but they like
slower.
Sun. They love sun. They love hot days, baby.
Sun worshiper.
I know. So we got a break there.
If you think it's a good time.
Okay.
All right. Here we roll. Our last break for this program, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okie dokie. We are back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we still have time for a phone call or two there, Mike.
673-4464, and I've been talking about two of my favorite ground covers that are tough, hardy. You can't hurt them. Even if you wanted to, they'd come back and grow in spite of you, not because of you.
Yeah, we like those.
Yes. And the other tough one, the first one was the ice plant, and the other one is called verbena. Verbena, they need sun and heat to thrive and are drought resistant, and they bloom again all summer long.
They're sure do not, well in our climate. We're in extreme drought.
Oh, yes. That's what the governor said.
That's right.
And but they're not as the flowers are very, very attractive, very pretty. But of the two, I like the other one. What? We got a call?
We have a phone call.
Okay.
Here we are. Hey there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
My grandson came over today, and he dug up a bunch of iris that I have, because I needed to get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
And so they were, like, in full bloom, blooming, and some of them weren't full bloom. And so I think my daughter's going to plant them tomorrow. Now, okay. Should she cut these back some, and how much?
Yeah, cut it down to the bulb. Leave about 2 inches of growth. What you can try is an experiment. Some of them you can just not prune just to see what'll happen, and the other ones prune down, you know, fairly short and plant the bulb, and that way you can see, hey, you know, there's no difference. Both of them did well, so I've seen it work both ways.
Maybe she should prune back the ones that are like more fully bloomed and the ones that are yet to bloom. Maybe
leave
those to see what happened with those.
Exactly. Okay.
And my rhodies have been blooming for a whole month, and they're huge. They've been here for years, and I have them pruned up where I love to go and sit under them in the summer when it's hot because it's all shady.
It's big. They're big then, huh?
And you hardly even see a leaf on them. There's so many blossoms. I love them every year.
So how big are they if you sit under them?
Oh, my goodness. They must be, let me walk out there. I'm not that good at just not seeing something and telling you how big it is. So I'm trying to see if they're.
Are they like a small tree?
So they're probably 10 feet.
Oh, good. Good.
10 feet or so.
So they've been in a while.
For years. They come up about to my eaves on my house.
Wow, that's great.
But I like them because you can, you know, see all through them, and I sit my chairs under there, and it's nice and cool.
Good idea. This sounds great.
So thank you so much for your program. I just love listening to it.
Well, thank you for listening. I love people who listen to it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You have a good weekend.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Alrighty, that's how easily it is done.
Yeah, and people have questions like that. We can answer them. And I planted a few. We got another call.
We have another call.
Okay.
Well. All right, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi. Let me turn down my radio. I have a big question about protein. If you want to grow peanuts, how do you do it? Where do you get the peanut? Seeds and potatoes. I understand all these are grown in the soil because my mother did, and she was successful and never shared it with me. So what do I do?
Well, I can answer the potato part, but I've never grown any peanuts. I don't know. They're maybe on the internet or something like
that. Where's Jimmy Carter when you need him?
Yeah, right. Where's Jimmy? But the potatoes, they're very easy to grow, very prolific, and they'll grow gangbusters. And you should mound them up. You know, have a mound that's maybe 2 feet around and a foot high, and then you plant the potato eyes right into the mound.
Potato eyes would be the things that are sprouting on the potato.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Those are the little things that are coming out, and you're going, what is that stuff coming out of my potato? That's the new potato that wants to live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it will actually grow another potato vine, right?
You betcha. And oh. You'll be amazed. And put maybe two or three of those in each mound. Don't put them, you know, close together, like, you know, 3 or 4 inches apart or 5 inches apart. And they'll grow so many potatoes, you won't know what to do with them all.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I already got my little eyes started, and they're growing leaves already, and they're rooting.
We'll stick them in the ground.
Okay, how deep should the soil be now? Did you say 2 feet?
No. About a foot. You know, I make a mound that's about 2 feet around, you know, the perimeter, and then just mound them up about a foot, and then you plant those potatoes down in there about 4 or 5 inches maybe in the top of the mound, and then when they do grow more potatoes, it's easy to harvest them because they're not, you know, way down in the ground. They're in the mound. And so
let me understand this. So it's soil is about 1 foot deep. The
yep.
mound is about 2 feet high.
Around. It's around.
Around.
Yeah.
Around. Okay.
Right.
2 feet around. They should be 3 to 5 inches apart and 3 to 5 inches deep, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that's an average. Yeah. And
okay.
You can experiment with that, too, and put some deeper and put some shallower and see which does the best in your yard.
Okay, deeper or shallow. Okay,
yeah.
Now the other problem I have, looks like I'm going to have to use pots this time. We got some well containers, for vino. You know, we have some vino containers. Well, we have clay. You go down about, 7 inches, and it's nothing but clay.
Well, take the clay out and fill that with good soil, and they'll be so much better.
When we remove the clay is it fills with water.
Well, no, you fill it with good topsoil before it can fill with water. And it looks like we're out of time. It's 5 o'clock.
Yep.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Call me back next week.
Though, huh?
Call me back next week. I'll find out about the peanuts, okay? Call
Thank
back.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's right. We'll be back again next week. Right here, same station.
What happened all the time, man?
I don't know. We have too much of a good time.
I know. It goes so quick. Jeez. Thanks for listening.
Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
We're located about a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99. And we're the second nursery on the left. Can't miss us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.